This is 90.1 KPFT, Houston.
And now from the home of the Great Pumpkin, here is Joan Devlin.
Hi, this is Joan Devlin in Iowa, and there is no Great Pumpkin here. There are, however, some witches, which is something we're going to be talking about tonight, only our witches tonight are going to be ones in Salem. I have Peter Alachi on the line with me. Peter, are you with us?
I am with you, Joan. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing?
Oh, it's been a while, huh?
Yeah, time flies.
I know, time flies.
Peter is actually a resident of Salem, Massachusetts, and he has written two books. One is called Salem Summer of Sam, On the Trail of Bewitched in Salem, 1970. And then he's done a pictorial tale of the Bewitched Statue of Salem, Massachusetts, which is a story about the controversy surrounding TV Land's placement of a Samantha Stevens statue in the town square at Salem. So, Peter, let's kind of begin at the beginning a little bit. What was Salem like in 1970 when Bewitched came? Because many of us know it today as the Halloween capital of the world. Was it always that way?
Yeah, Salem back in 1970 was still evolving. I think if you look at Salem's history in general, Salem has four facets that tourists come to see. They come to see the Peabody Essex Museum to learn about its trade history. They come for Nathaniel Hawthorne for its literature. They come for the architecture. And, of course, they come for the witch trials of 1692. So Salem in 1970 was really an all-encompassing. Tourists came to Salem to see all of these. In 1970, something happened that they started emphasizing the kitsch side of Salem more and more. The Halloween fairs and the occult. And that all really started in 1970, around that time.
And what brought Bewitched to Salem?
Well, Bewitched came to Salem. They had planned originally to film in Salem. They wanted to film in Salem, to do some exterior scenes in Salem. And the opportunity came when their studio in Hollywood burned down. And what happened, they kind of panicked. They wanted to come to Salem immediately and film there. And Maxwell Henry, the assistant director of the Witch at the time, gave a call to Michael Linquata of the Gloucester House. And he was truly panicking over the phone. And he says, we really need to come up to Salem to film in your locale. Would you be able to help us? And Michael Linquata didn't even know who this guy is. It was an early Sunday morning. So he sort of accepted, and the rest is history. They came during the week of June 20th, and they filmed for 6 days in Salem, between Salem and Gloucester, on location.
Fast forward 40 years to 2 years ago when the Samantha statue is unveiled.
Yep.
You know, Bewitched is an icon. It's a TV icon. It's got a gay mystique. It's got a feminist mystique. It's got fans all over the world. And you would think of all places, Salem, which is one of the most open-minded communities in the world, would not only not mind a Samantha statue, they would embrace the idea of a Samantha statue. So what happened?
I think you'd find that most people did embrace the idea of the statue. I don't think there was much of controversy among 99% of the residents. I think you had some people in town who were truly offended that the statue had come to Salem because of his historical perspective. They were historical purists. They said basically that there is a lack of strong connection between the Bewitched statue and Salem. And they made the argument that it is basically a sitcom, and a sitcom that was based in Westport, of all places. So why not erect it in Westport, not Salem? And then they said, well, look, you know, we have great statues in Salem. You know, you were here in Salem, and you saw the statues in Daniel Hawthorne. You saw the statue of Roger Conant, the founder of Salem. And that statue is going to be sitting among these kind of... Among these other statues, which have historical importance, so it's going to sit, you know, in the middle of the town at the crossroads between the Witch House and the Peabody Essex Museum. Does it really belong here? I mean, this is basically their argument. They said, well, you might as well erect the statue of Colonel Klink in the middle of Auschwitz. I mean, this is how far they carried it. But if you look at the demonstrators at the unveiling ceremony in 2005, there were truly a handful. There were about 15 or 20 of them, not that many. And the guy who was actually arrested during the unveiling ceremony wasn't even from Salem. He was from Peabody. So essentially, there are, you know, people in Salem who disagreed with it, and there are people in Salem who like the statue. And if you go by the statue today, you always see tourists stopping by, taking their photos with it, and it's a nice attraction for the tourists because they come to Salem for the kitsch side of Salem. At the same time, once they visit Salem, they end up learning about the other history of Salem, the witch trials and literature, and they see the architecture. And of course, there is the fun side of Salem at the same time. I mean, this time of the year, it's crazy. You can't even walk around Salem.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say, because truthfully, this is how I learned about the witch trials. I heard about them on Bewitched. I read about them. And I've met many people, both on Bewitched fan sites and even just in general, who will say that.
Yes,
I learned about
indeed.
The witch trials because of Bewitched.
Yeah, I mean,
so,
you know,
I mean,
what,
it's been doing this for years.
You know, one of the very episodes, one of the episodes in the Salem Saga episodes was based at the witch house where one of the judges of the witch trials, Jonathan Corwin, lived. And basically, you know, it's an imaginary story, but basically Samantha in that story sort of gets rid of that accursed witchcraft trial altogether by telling the judge, look, these people aren't even witches. I am a witch, but they're not witches. You know, they were ordinary mortals. You know, so it was a good thing somehow. And you know, you're right. I mean, a lot of people learned about Salem from Bewitched.
And the thing is, the overall message was tolerance. And this is why this
yes.
show has appealed to gay people for so many generations.
Oh, I agree. I think, you know, I think the show is about tolerance. You know, I mean, there is also the theme of the show really is there is prejudice, and prejudice creates conflicts. I mean, you see the conflict manifested, for example, between Endora. Of course, Endora is the goddess.
Yes.
Between Endora and Darren. You know, she would call him a bigot sometimes to his face, and Darren, in moments of rage, would say things like, you know, now I know why they used to burn witches at Salem, he'd say. And, she, you know, he'll annoy the hell out of her, and she'd turn him into a frog or a donkey or something. But Bewitch is a sort of a gay metaphor. You know, here you have Sam, who is a witch, is being asked by her husband to keep it to herself, keep it in the closet, so to speak, and to keep her witch powers repressed. Just to fit in the norms of the human family. And, you know, I mean, how similar is it to many gays today who are married, you know, who can't come out of the closet for various social reasons? Until today, you see it. But especially back in those days. So her challenge, Sam's challenge in that episode was to leave her zone of comfort, deny herself her true self, and that really required a great deal of self-esteem on her part. So I think that, along with the fact that you had characters on the show who were gay, I mean, I don't think that was the main reason why it's such a you know, popular show among the gay community. But you have of course Paul Lind, you have Maurice Evans, you have the second Garen, you know, Dick Sargent. All of them were also gay. And of course you have Samantha herself, you know, Liz Montgomery, who was very supportive of gay issues.
So let's get to your books now.
Yes.
The first one is called Salem, Summer of Sam.
Yes.
And then the second one is called A Pictorial Tale of the Bewitched Statue of Salem, Massachusetts. What do people need to do to get these books if they would be interested? And I have to say, for the, especially the Salem, Summer of Sam, the research is phenomenal. The things you found are just
amazing.
Oh,
thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, the only way to get them is through my website right now, and they can go on palachi.com, www.palachi.com, spelled palachi.com, P as in Peter, A as in Adam, L as in Larry, A as in apple, C as in Christmas, H as in Halloween, and I as intrigue. And if they go to the website, there is a portal on the website to order these two books. They're $9.95 each. And the portal is, by the way, driven by through PayPal. So it's very easy to place an order.
Great. I was reading, you want to share something with our listeners, David White, Larry Tate, living up to his reputation about the House of the Seven Gables. You want to tell that story?
Yes. Okay, sure. What happened here in this case is Larry Tate was filming a scene with Dick Sargent outside the House of the Seven Gables, and they were conversing, and there was a reporter standing next to them, and she heard Larry Tate say, grimace about how much it costs to go through the House of the Seven Gables. He goes, $1.25 just to walk through this house? Can you imagine what it costs to just sleep there? And he was, like, really annoyed at that. So White probably would have been livid to learn that by the time the new Bewitched season opened in September, admission to the old house had depreciated by a whole quarter to $1.50. And actually, now the admission to the House of the Seven Gables is almost $11. So he would be really outraged.
And the other story about David White that I find fascinating, and that's also germane to topics of today, is that when he was interviewed, I believe, in Gloucester, he kind of spoke out against Nixon and Vietnam.
Yes, he was actually quite a liberal, of his days. And he was, in those days, early in, during the presidency of Richard Nixon, Spiro Agnew Vice President, used to go on the attack, attacking the anti-war movement backers, calling them apologists for the North Vietnamese regime.
You said that was so, Dick Cheney? Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry.
Pretty much, yeah. It sounds really similar, doesn't it? But what happened is in March, Nixon had, in March of 1970, Nixon attacked Cambodia, invaded Cambodia, and had deliberately expanded the Vietnam War. So he had initially, during his campaign, promised that he would reduce the troop levels and reneged on his promise, essentially. So he sent out Agnew to attack his opponents, and it came at the heels of the Kent State University massacre of May 4th, during which several students were killed or injured. And David White was quite annoyed at the whole thing, and basically said to a reporter, he said, when you throw a rock, do you expect to get shot? And really everybody was looking at him. Nobody even replied. Because that's exactly what happened. Students were throwing rocks. Why did they get shot at the time? And why would Spiro Agnew go on the attack at that specific time?
Right. Well, Peter, give us one more time the website where people can get your two books.
Okay, website is www.palachi.com, PALACHI.com. And,
great.
And
the books are Salem's Summer of Sam, On the Trail of Bewitched in Salem, 1970.
Correct.
And A Pictorial Tale of the Bewitched Statue of Salem, Massachusetts. Perfect Halloween reading. Peter will get them out to you right away. They are wonderful books. And Peter, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Joan, for having me on the show.
Great. Well, and you are listening to KPFT 90.1 FM Houston.